Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We'll see about as it relates to Bill Belichick. As far as I can tell, he has remained committed to North Carolina. Not that those phone calls didn't exist. They did. But it does seem to be committed to North Carolina. What it does seem like this means, though, is whatever head coach they're going to bring in, that at least it is going to be a head coach who has some familiarity with the GM, or at least the opportunity to start new. And, of course, Tom Brady has a very close relationship with Mike Vrabel, who is interviewing right now as we speak with the New England Patriots. And many people believe, me included, that Vrabel is a top candidate, if not the top candidate, for the New England Patriots. But the fact that the Raiders now have an opening at head coach, an opening at general manager, does at least open the door that it would be something Vrabel would potentially consider. Now, the Patriots have a jump start on that. Again, he is literally in the room with them right now, so that would theoretically give them the leg up. But we will see if the Raiders figure into his thinking in the future.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We'll get to Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock. Keefe already gave you a Bruins scoop earlier today. Dirt in the dressing room. Pastrnak and Marchand not getting along. So we'll take your thoughts on all that. 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Patriots interviewed Mike Vrabel yesterday. They are interviewing or have interviewed Ben Johnson this morning.
Yeah, probably over, because he can only interview only. He has 3 hours he can do virtual interviews, and he has two today. So one they said with
AM, is he capped at 3 hours?
That's what I read somewhere.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay,
I think it's a 3 hour interview. I mean, that's 6 hours of interviews today is what he's going to end up doing. It's just two today, two tomorrow, and then, you know, next week, whatever the Lions play and all that stuff. So it should be over.
It should be wrapping up if it's not already done.
See if we get a graphic put out by the Patriots Twitter.
Vrabel Johnson on the same one?
No, no.
They already put out the Vrabel one.
Vrabel one's out,
yesterday.
So maybe they're working on a Ben Johnson one, and then they can post that later today.
So I do find that to be interesting, though, that they're talking to Ben Johnson today, and even people like Rap Sheet are connecting Vrabel to that Raiders job, because Telesco getting fired is weird. It happened right after we got off the air yesterday. We were down the hall meeting and talking about it.
Telling.
Well, right. It could be telling.
Yeah.
Well, it's telling. I just am not sure what it means, but somebody is coming in to run football ops. It could be Brady. Brady could be kicking down from the ownership level and being done with Fox and saying, I'm going to be more hands-on. I'm going to be an Elway type.
Yeah.
Can you do that as a 10% investor? I don't know, but whatever. Brady's going to be more hands-on with football ops.
Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones owns the team.
Good point. And he's the GM. Touche. Good point. You can do it.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's Brady, or maybe it's someone like Vrabel or Bill or somebody else, even Ben Johnson, comes in and it clears the path for them to either be the personnel guy or bring their own personnel guy. There's something going on there, because they fired Pierce on Tuesday. They fired Telesco yesterday. It's a sign of bigger things to come. And I still found this interesting from Chad Graff, who I think it's been pretty clear is plugged in at the ownership level. He says, Vrabel has continued to accept interview requests from other openings even after the Patriots job opened up. A sign his path to New England isn't set in stone. Now, that's speculation.
Okay.
But I wonder if he's heard something.
I'll allow it.
He says, if, say, the Raiders, minority owners Tom Brady and Richard Seymour, I'll add, both former teammates of Mike Vrabel, vowed to offer Vrabel $5 million more per year than the Patriots, perhaps Vrabel would head out west. So it's not a report. That's not airtight by any means. It's speculation. But the implication there is Mark Davis and the Raiders blow the Patriots offer out of the water. Vrabel will go there. And I wonder if that might be a hang up for Vrabel. Not just that the Raiders would have to blow him away. Maybe Kraft isn't giving him what he wants in terms of a contract.
Because I never viewed the Jets or the Bears as real oppositions or threats to take Vrabel away from New England. I thought it was a done deal. In fact, I thought, in the same way the Patriots are talking to other candidates, one, they have to, but two, a guy like Ben Johnson, just to be like, oh, it wasn't just Vrabel. Look at, we talked to all these guys. And look at Mike Vrabel. If he knew he was coming to the Patriots, why would he do these other interviews? But then the Vegas thing changes all of that, because it's Brady and Seymour. And on top of it, they moved on from a first-year GM who drafted an all-pro in the first round and two other like starters in his first draft.
Yeah.
At least two starters.
I think it was four total starters, including Bowers, who had, you just said it, the best year ever for a tight end, a rookie tight end in NFL history.
And so he had a good year. He had a much better year than Antonio Pierce, Gerard Mayo, or Elliott Wolf. And if Vrabel, who has a history of maybe not getting along with GMs that he has worked with, is now interviewing for a job that has a vacancy at GM, blank canvas. It's not, hey, can you work with Elliott Wolf? Can you work in conjunction with Wolf? Can he be your boss? Do you mind being like his boss? Nope. Wide open. Like, Mike, what do you think for the future of this team? If you jump on board, you have a big say, and you're going to be working closely with Brady and Seymour? Like, that is a serious threat, let alone this idea of, what if they just offer more money? Because usually I kind of think more money is going to get the player, coach, or whatever in most of these scenarios. But if you have more power, more money, the only thing that's missing is the quarterback, which is significant, right? Like, you have Drake May here, you have a better chance for success or a quicker turnaround knowing you have a good quarterback.
But where do the Raiders draft?
Sixth.
Okay. That doesn't mean you can't move up to, I don't think the Titans are moving one. Could you move up to two? Could you move up to three?
Yeah, I like Drake May so much more than Sanders and Ward. But I get your point. You at least bring somebody in who you think is your guy.
You're not stuck with Aiden O'Connell is my point.
No, I don't think you would be anyway. Like, you'll figure out. Maybe you're the one that has Aaron Rodgers for a year or Kirk Cousins for a year or somebody like that. And you know what? If it's Vrabel and it's Brady, you might get that.
6-1.
Imagine if Brady got Rodgers. Now, I know you could argue Rodgers is just done. But the way John Elway got Peyton Manning to play and they won a Super Bowl, like, anyway, just playing it all out. It's kind of funny.
You absolutely could get a vet like
Brady could have some pull there.
Cousins, Rodgers, I mean, you named them. Yeah. You could absolutely do that. Is there a guy you could trade for this offseason? Mm-hmm. Like, there are other ways to do it. 617-779-7937. So that's the Vrabel piece to it. Again, they're talking to Ben Johnson. Mike Giardi today continuing to dig into Ben Johnson. His interest in New England is genuine, evident by his scheduled virtual interview with the team. He told the Jets not to bother, for instance. He's coached several positions on his coaching journey, from quarterbacks to receivers to tight ends, and he has a good sense for differing personalities. But basically, his interest is genuine. Is their interest genuine in him? Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. Patriots are open to being blown away by Johnson today.
Careful.
That's an important second word.
Yep. Keep
blown
going.
Away
keep going.
By Johnson.
By Johnson, right.
No other known interviews scheduled after that. Mike Vrabel looms large as a prime candidate. Today feels like a pivotal day. So this does underscore something you brought up earlier today, Keith. They're open to being blown away by Ben Johnson. Mike Vrabel's a prime candidate. What if the Raiders are paving the way for Vrabel in Vegas and Ben Johnson is on the fence? He likes the Patriots job. He has genuine interest in the Patriots job, but he also likes the Jags job, and he also likes the Chicago job, and he takes one of those and Vrabel's in Vegas. The only other interviews the Patriots have done were fake sham interviews with Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. They got turned down by Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to happen, but play that out. What if it did? Who's their guy if Johnson and Vrabel both take other jobs?
You have Pep Hamilton and Joe Milton as your starting quarterback because he loves Joe Milton. No, yeah, I don't know what you do. This is what happens when, you know, you have a sham interview and then you get burned, which is possible. The way coaches are, college and pro coaches, their word isn't always as strong as oak, right? Like a Jerry Maguire. Yeah, no. I'd like this contract. Like, you got my word. Word's stronger than oak. And then he goes to somebody else.
Who is that? That's the
Kush.
Dad?
That's Kush's dad.
Yeah.
Kush's dad.
Yeah.
He was getting Kush lash. There's just so much Kush talk. But he ended up going with Bob Sugar. Yeah, this guy, Mr. Sugar. But that could definitely happen. And this is a legitimate other landing spot for Vrabel. Ben Johnson was never a guarantee to go here. It seems like Chicago would make a ton of sense. So then, yeah, what do you do? And so then, if you really play out the scenario, you have to then find another list of candidates and then explain to them why they weren't on your original list.
Right.
They're like, all right, so you called Leftwich and Hamilton, Johnson and Vrabel, and then like a week went by, and now you're calling us?
Right.
Because why? Two of those guys took jobs and two of those guys were joke candidates?
I mean, is there a way Brian Flores and Liam Cohen, you could say, well, you guys are still in the playoffs. We don't want to bother you. We're going to call you once you got eliminated.
Like, maybe there's a way. Did call Ben Johnson.
Maybe there's a way to dress it up.
Yeah, but he was on a bye.
Yeah.
I guess you could have.
Maybe,
have
to, but it'd be fraudulent.
Now, it's also one of 32 jobs in the world like this, so there is always that where I might not like how you guys went about it, but if I have an opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL, and, you know, with Drake May, then maybe you'd take it.
Twitch chat is bringing up the name Pete Carroll. My guy Brett,
bring him back.
That up.
Would you rather bring back Pete Carroll, Gerard Mayo, or Bill Belichick? Probably Belichick.
Yeah, probably Bill.
Yeah.
I hate to acknowledge it, but probably Bill. He might be bringing up Pete Carroll, though, in relation to Vegas. This is why I wanted to bring that up, because that could be another guy who we're blowing. Isn't he interviewing there today?
No, I'm just thinking, I mean, there's obviously no connection between Tom Brady and Pete Carroll other than he beat him in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they were just contemporaries, going toe-to-toe in the league for a long time. I believe Carroll's interviewing there today, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Let me fact-check myself on that.
Do you
Pete
think
Carroll is interviewing for the job? It's not necessarily today, but he's interviewing for that job.
We haven't really heard much in the way of college coaches at all being tossed into the mix.
No.
Like Deion, that's been real quiet. Nothing there in Deion.
Deion would be interesting. He could go there and maybe draft his kid.
I just see the Jets, I think, are talking to a Maryland coach.
Oh, Mike Locksley.
Oh,
yes.
So
Saban guy, or at least worked in Alabama for a while under Saban. So Mike Locksley is a name.
The playoff might be screwing that all
up.
Well,
we've heard Sarkisian's name, right? But you got to wait for him. Marcus Freeman, I'd be real interested in. Notre Dame in the national title game now after their win last night. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe they're waiting on some of that, too. By the way, Phil Perry Keefe did say these video conference interviews are 3 hours in length.
There you go.
So, touche.
Not bad.
Three is not seven. Seven would be crazy.
Yeah.
Seven
too
would
much.
Be way
You're
way
staring
too
at the
much.
Screen for that long?
Yeah,
it's not good for your eyes.
That's above average. Seven.
Is there an intermission?
Three is about right.
Three is safe.
Yeah.
Three, seven's outrageous.
I'd aspire to.
Seven!
Quite frankly.
Do you think there's an intermission?
Yeah, a little.
Or you just sit down, like you're watching Lord of the Rings for 3 hours, and you talk to these guys into the computer on a Zoom call? That's a long time.
Yeah. Maybe it's like when we went to Level 99, you can like pause it, take a little lunch break.
Yeah, pause.
Hey, guys, pause, time out.
Let me stop you right there.
I need some tinkle time.
I got to get a snack.
Let me out of here.
I got to fuel up.
Phil Perry also had a very interesting note.
Okay.
And he kind of just left it there on Twitter. Maybe he's explained it on television or he's explained it in print and I've missed it. I feel like I read everything Phil writes. Johnson goes into the interview knowing Elliott Wolf. I'm sorry, already knowing Elliott Wolf. So there will be a pre-existing relationship there when he meets with the Patriots via video conference. I read that and I said, he does?
I mean,
how do they know each other?
Who knows each other, I guess? But usually you just trace it back to like who worked with who.
Mm-hmm.
They never worked together, but that doesn't mean they're not like best buds.
No, the best I can come up with, and the only reason this name's even on my radar is you were talking about Ben Johnson's resume going back to his days in Miami.
Overlapped with Darren Rizzi.
He did overlap.
That's why Rizzi's my special teams coordinator.
Darren Rizzi, special teams coordinator / toilet clogger.
Right.
But he coached under Joe Philbin in Miami. Joe Philbin came from Green Bay. Elliott Wolf was in Green Bay. Maybe that's the connection. Maybe. But Johnson goes into the interview already knowing Elliott Wolf. Interesting. And Elliott Wolf's still here. And I'm told he's here with no power and no influence in the Wolfpack. Thank you, Keith. The Wolfpack isn't a thing.
It's something.
If Ben Johnson's here, the Wolfpack is a thing. So that's problematic. Meanwhile, if you're lining up Vrabel versus Ben Johnson, a defensive coach versus an offensive coach, Rich Keefe, very busy. Bruin scoops.
Yeah.
He's got the Rich Keefe stats and info department hard at work. What'd you find on offensive coaches versus defensive coaches?
Well, I was
coaches?
Trying to see just the teams this year that were top 10 in offense versus the teams that were top 10 in defense.
Yeah, that's a distinction,
not the
by
coaches.
The way.
I get to that, too.
It's not an offensive coach versus a defensive coach. It is the best offense versus the best defense. Thank you.
Yeah,
I phrased that wrong.
For example, Belichick was a defensive coach, but when he had Brady, he had a top 10 offense just about every year.
Very
so.
Good top 10, top 5 best offenses in football.
So more like anecdotally, like if your team is more dominant on one side of the ball. So of the top 10, because top 10, good baseline. I didn't want to go 14 or 16. I want to do top 10. If you have a top 10 offense, what are your chances of making the playoffs? Just this year, 9 out of 10 top offenses are the playoffs.
Sounds about right.
Defensively, also 9 of 10.
So that surprises me. That's
yeah, me
high.
Too. Me too. Now, where I sort of draw the line, and then I said, all right, what if you take the top 3 on each side? And in your mind, which group do you think is more likely to win the Super Bowl? The top 3 offenses this season were the Lions, Bills, and Ravens.
Mm-hmm. So I like that group. That's a good group.
I mean, Lions and Bills could very well be the Super Bowl. Lamar might be the MVP. The top 3 defenses this year were the Chargers, Eagles, and Broncos. So, you know, all
playoff teams, but not are those real? I mean, Philly's a Super Bowl contender. The other two, I think, are, you know, kind of happy to be there.
Right, and they're all playing this weekend, right? But so is Kansas City. Somebody brought up the point. They're like, well, Kansas City's not a top three in either one, and they could very well win the Super Bowl
and they're,
this year.
If I had to guess, they're definitely top 10 in defense.
They're
I don't
better
know
at
offense.
Defense and offense this year. I mean, they sort of have the Patrick Mahomes kind of, you know, get out of jail free card where at the end you're like, well, I got this guy still.
No, but the way to streamline that is, and again, these aren't offensive coaches versus defensive coaches. I know you have the numbers on that, but a top 10 offense versus a top 10 defense, you're equally likely to make the playoffs.
I think
nine out of 10 versus 9 out of 10.
You and I underrate a really good defense.
Well,
I'm so caught up in the offenses and the points, and I'll still side with that.
We do and we don't. To get to the playoffs, we definitely underrate it.
But the Patriots' new goal now is playoffs.
Yeah.
They're so bad that I don't think we're talking about them winning a Super Bowl anytime soon, but we're talking about them getting back to the playoffs soon.
Vrabel gives you a good chance to make the playoffs as soon as next year. And if Ben Johnson is a good coach, same thing. So we probably underestimate a defensive coach to get you to the playoffs. 9 out of the top 10 are in the playoffs, just like 9 out of the top 10 offenses are in the playoffs. But that group, top three, Keith, which speaks to winning a championship or contending for a Super Bowl, I think you need a top 10 offense, a top three offense. I think that gives you the best chance. So if we're talking about making the playoffs, defensive coach works. We're talking about winning a Super Bowl, I think that's something different.
Yeah.
And then just breaking it down.
How about the coaches, though?
Yeah, just breaking it down as an offensive coach versus a defensive coach.
So 14 playoff teams, 8 have offensive-minded head coaches. I would say 5 have defense, and then John Harbaugh's the one. You know, his previous job was a special teams coordinator, so he's the only one that really doesn't fall into offense or defense.
But even if you give him to the defensive side,
it's 8-6.
It's 8-6.
But close, but advantage offense.
It's an advantage offense. Yeah. So there you go. All of that tells me it should be Ben Johnson over Mike Vrabel, and yet it doesn't feel like that's the way it's going to go. 617-779-7937. Lynn's in New Hampshire waiting patiently. Hello, Lynn.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear us? Right.
Lynn, we gotcha.
Yes. Okay. I'm sort of backtracking to Jaren Duran.
Okay.
You know, and even I know you're off topic, but
it's fine.
What there's so much that by them doing what they're doing is just bad karma. He works so hard, and he plays two positions. And that, to me, is another factor that they don't even consider when you consider the points. What is it, half a million there difference? And he's been a leader. He does everything every day to play hard. And he's such a heartbeat of the organization. Like, for them to do that, just a spit.
Yeah, bad karma. Bad karma for them, for sure. The two positions, I bet they use him not being a center fielder. I bet they use that against him. I bet they're like, yeah, you're a gold glove left fielder, but you're a left fielder, not a center fielder. I bet they use that against him.
They might. The stuff they're going to come up with. I mean, he almost played every game.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for his thing, right? He would have.
Yeah. Now, look, I don't think he's a leader.
No, but that doesn't mean he doesn't deserve $500,000.
No, right.
More.
I'm just saying. I just think she went a little far with Duran, but no, I would pay him. And if you're really haggling over $500,000 for a guy who you don't want it in his head, all the negativity that you're going to throw in his
face,
that
could really backfire.
Over $500,000. He doesn't want $10 million. He wants $4 million.
Right,
and you're willing to take him to arbitration court over $500,000 because you only want to give him $3.5 million,
and everybody thinks he could get $5 million.
Correct.
And then this also isn't going anywhere anytime soon because I think the earliest he'll be a free agent is 2029.
Yeah, his
baseball contracts are so stupid.
Well, and he was sneaky old when he came up.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's not going to hit that big payday until much later, right? He's not going to be a free agent for, what, 31 years old, something like that?
Yeah.
So that's kind of tough for him. So he's looking to get whatever money he can get, and he's coming off a great year, and you're like, nah, we can't. 3.5 we can do. We can't do
not
four.
Not four. No chance.
So stupid.
What, too rich for our blood. We were going to spend $700 million on Juan Soto.
Yep.
I think people get this wrong all the time, by the way. 617-779-7937. That's the text line, as well as the phone number. Patriots won their last Super Bowl on defense. Offense was horrific.
Yeah, you missed that Chiefs game then.
Well, thank you. They did win the Super Bowl on defense.
Oh, yeah, they for sure beat the Rams.
But how'd they get there?
I'd be the offense.
They went into Arrowhead, converted a million third and tens, and then went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, and Brady beat him in overtime.
Yeah.
Like, they won a specific game on defense.
Sure.
But the run to get there, their offense was great against the Chargers and great against the Chiefs.
But come on.
So I think people have that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to, how about Steve in the car? Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
What's happening?
Not much, just hanging out talking.
Well, I'd like to get to the Pastrnak and Marchand.
Get there, please.
I say get rid of Pasternak. First of all, he's lazy, okay? And the shootout, he's horrible. He doesn't even try. He only tries when he thinks the scoring's going to do him some good and boost his goal percentage. Okay. Marchand is a tiger. He's a fighter, and he's always pushing to do better. And no matter how big his opposition is, if he's going to fight, he's going to fight. Pasternak is a wuss. He doesn't fight. Get rid of Pasternak. You can get more for him than you can get for Marchand because people, you know, like his scoring ability.
Okay, well, that last part is true, yeah.
He went to the zoo with the goal of staring into the tiger's soul.
It's fierce. That was Brad Marchand calling and ripping Pasternak is what that was.
Wow.
Thanks. Good to
go
hear
tigers.
From
Tigers.
Good to hear from Marshy there.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, get rid of Pasternak. Pasternak's a wuss and Marchand's a tiger.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's fierce.
That's pretty good.
I was expecting the frisky drop, but I guess it's bigger than just a
like
house cat.
Tiger, the most dangerous thing you ever seen in your whole life.
You look the tiger in the eye.
Yeah, when the tiger growled at me, I thought I could be in danger.
It's a good indication.
If you hear it like in surround sound like that, you're too close.
Yeah.
You gotta back up.
Yeah, you don't want the growl.
You gotta back up.
People hear that from Marcia in their words.
Grab bag.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. Next time we'll get it.
Grab bag.
No.
It's multi-purpose, that one.
Yeah.
You might hear that again in an hour.
617-779-7937. Yes, coming up in an hour, we have the grab bag. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we have Keith's Keys to Wild Card Weekend. We'll hit on his Bruins scoop again. Again, Pasternak and Marchand not getting along is what Keith told us earlier today. Part of the problem with the Bruins losing 6 in a row and 7 out of 8. Plus, we'll get to the Patriots more into their coaching search. Aaron Glenn turns them down. What does it tell us about this job as a destination?
I mean, that story just had no legs. I think what often happens in rumoring, and I know this from doing it in the league, is people try to make a connection. A to B equals C. Well, that's not always the case. Yes, Tom Brady is being involved with interviews. Yes, Tom Brady is doing research on head coaching candidates. Yes, Tom Brady is calling people up for advice and counsel because that's why he's so great at what he does, because he's listening for advice. But don't assume that that's because he's doing that. He wants Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick committed North Carolina. He committed it to me. He committed it to the university. There's been no conversation about anything. And we drive from this office here, is this football field behind me, to where we're staying. We commute each day together, and we both talk about how messed up the NFL is and how thankful we're in college football.
Is that
because
real?
Because we're shaking our heads.
Mike Lombardi yesterday on McAfee. So good.
This is where I'm so torn. I told you, you and I differ on this. I am rooting for Belichick to be good at North Carolina, but the problem is he's then going to take credit for that, being the GM down there. I'm like, I don't want Mike Lombardi to get credit for anything.
These two idiots are carpooling together just talking about how stupid the NFL is.
They're so dumb. We would fix every team there, wouldn't we?
Yeah, of course we would.
Yeah, it's like, would. One guy drafted DeMarcus Russell, and the other guy is like, it was enough was enough.
Right, the other guy got the Browns to move out of Cleveland, for God's sake. And so these two are like, yeah, let's fix the NFL. But the NFL's broken. It's so wrong.
So Lombardi was kind of in a weird spot where I think you kind of want recruits to know that Bill is interested in the league, and yet you also want to make sure they know that he's staying, because they want, you know, if you don't want to go to North Carolina, then have Bill leave. So he's in like a weird spot because you want to drum up the interest, but him being like, no, there's no interest, also kind of proves our point that no, there isn't any interest.
No, there is. NFL teams. There is not interest. Bill wanted it out there that, yeah, Brady called him and asked him about the job because Bill,
yeah,
has a giant ego, and secondarily, it probably helps him at North Carolina. Lombardi just said it. Oh, teams want us in the NFL, but we're not going. We're committed here.
No.
Bill said he can come here to leave, and I'm not going anywhere either. And plus, we commute around Chapel Hill together, which I just find interesting.
But if the Raiders don't want him, then nobody wants him, because that was an opening. Like, I thought maybe, you know what? Maybe Brady would love the idea of
nobody
being his boss
him
and all that. So, yeah, you're going to be at Carolina.
Nobody wants him. But I think Bill leaked out the phone call.
Maybe.
Because it really happened. Brady really called him, and Lombardi just justified as much.
You're not lying about that.
Brady's smart. Brady wanted to pick his brain. It wasn't about asking him for the job. And then I think Bill gets to have this both ways. He leaks out the phone call that Brady called him. He still has sway and influence and interest, if you will. And then he gets to thump his chest and be like, well, the league wants me. I don't want them. Bill comes out of it looking good on both ends.
Yeah, the results are going to speak for themselves, though. And if he ends up just at North Carolina for 3-4 years or whatever, then that's what it is.
Do you think, what do you think the Raiders are doing? Like, do you think the Raiders are really making a play for Vrabel? What are they doing?
I think they're making a strong play for Mike Vrabel. I think by firing the GM, who was good at his job in 1 year, it is a very clear message to whoever the coach is, in my scenario, Vrabel, that you're like, hey.
But do you fire your GM after 1 year, who drafted well? Do you find, and he didn't do everything perfect. Like, he chose Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell as his quarterbacks. Like, that's regrettable. Yeah. He probably thought he was going to get
done better.
He thought he was going to get Penix or somebody like that
probably
in the draft, is what I think he believed. And, you know, he got sniped on all those quarterbacks, and he wound up pivoting and drafting Brock Bowers, who was awesome. But whatever.
But if one GM had to get fired, Telesco or Wolf, I think it would be Wolf.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But I'm saying, do you fire Telesco just to send a message to a candidate, or do you fire Telesco because you have the candidate?
Or,
like, to me, they have to have a guy to do that.
Yeah, maybe they do, but maybe the Patriots have a guy, and maybe the Raiders have a guy, and it's the same guy.
Well,
he has to pick a spot. I just think it also shows
somebody's
you...
somebody's about to really butcher this.
But it shows you Tom Brady's imprint, to me, all over the Raiders. And maybe this was even a Telesco thing, where the two were talking, and Brady's like, hey, here are the coaches I like. And Telesco's like, I don't really like those guys. Or Brady's like, I kind of want more say on the roster. And Telesco's like, I'm the GM.
So it could be that. It could be that.
If he feels like he was going to be like the GM in name only but not have final say, why do I want that job?
Yeah.
If I'm not really doing the job.
And it could be we're looking at it wrong. It's not we're blowing out the coach and personnel guy so that a new coach, Belichick, Vrabel, even Pete Carroll, they can come in and either be both or bring in their own personnel guy where really they're calling the shots, but they're sort of outsourcing to another football guy, delegating to another football guy to run their personnel, but it's somebody they're close with. Maybe we have it backwards. Maybe it's just Brady's leaving Fox. David Sampson said that.
I think he might be wishy-washy about it.
But David Sampson, former Marlins president, said on Levitard that Brady is going to be in the Raiders front office. He won't be on Fox next year. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's Brady's taking a more hands-on approach in their front office. They blew out Telesco, and now Brady's going to pick the next coach. And who would Brady pick?
I think he would pick Mike Vrabel. I really do. And I think Vrabel, you know, again, maybe he doesn't have final say, but just more say than most head coaches would have. And if he's working hand in hand with Brady, maybe even Richard Seymour, I don't know how much he's going to be involved, but also a part of that ownership group now. I don't know. That seems like their guy. Now, I don't know. I think it's still more likely to be here in New England, the way this whole process has played out, but they can make a really compelling case. And then it's going to be really up to Vrabel. I'm sure he gets offers from both, and then he's going to have to decide.
And Chad Graff referenced, I don't know, maybe the Raiders could blow Vrabel away by $5 million. So are the Krafts not giving him what he wants? Interesting, because that sounds on brand. Say what you want about Mark Davis. He might not have deep pockets. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's Al Davis's clown kid. But he's a guy who maybe has...
But don't you think...
At least more of a willingness to throw what little money he has around. He doesn't have the same kind of money and resources as Robert Kraft, but he's more willing to spend it.
But
he's paying like three coaches right now.
But Vrabel also has to know, going in, like sort of the history of both teams. And I'm like, to your point, I'm not saying the Raiders just spend money freely. But if you look at the Patriots, he was with Belichick as a player for 8 years or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Saw that they spent money a couple times. Like Roosevelt Colvin and really, you know, here and there. And then Adalys Thomas, he was on the team for that year.
Yeah, those were two while he was here for sure.
Yeah, so they got, you know, Randy Moss. Not that he was like a ton of money, but they got those. But then coaching against them, there were years where they didn't spend the money. Then they did. And then Robert blamed it all on Bill. And then the first year Bill was gone, they spent no money. So Vrabel has to be like, all right, we have all this cap space, which is exciting. But if he thinks they're really going to spend it all, look how the last coach got into trouble. His first press conference, he said they're going to burn cash. And then they're like, no, we're not. And like, don't say that.
God, that was so...
That was like a year ago.
Didn't you believe him at the time?
Yes.
Me too.
100%, because I thought...
Burn some cash.
I mean, it made all the sense in the world.
It did. Because, I believed him. Stupid me.
Because then I would have said, for 20 years, Bill was the reason they didn't spend.
Yeah.
Not Robert.
Yeah, they'd be able to justify that.
And now one season, you don't do it, you're like, no, it was Robert.
It was Robert the whole time.
Yeah. So I think Vrabel has to look at it with that mindset. I'm sure Brady's reminding him of it. Brady's like, I didn't end my career there. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, I, he's
they
got
traded a, you.
Yes.
They wouldn't pay me.
Right.
Who ended their career there?
Mm.
Hardly anybody. Brusky? Like, hardly anybody.
Not Antonio Brown.
No, definitely not. So, Keith, this ties into the Aaron Glenn rejection, which good for him. We said this earlier today. Good for Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
Good for you. The Patriots offered Ben Johnson or reached out to Ben Johnson about a virtual interview on Monday. The Patriots reached out to Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. They did sham interviews, same graphics, same day.
I still can't believe they did the same graphic. I know it's a me thing and I'm hung up on it, but every other team in the league.
You were the first one to point this out. It's a great observation.
Every other team in the league, it could be random dudes. It's like, who's the OC from Arizona?
Drew Petzig.
Drew Petzig.
Local guy.
Drew Petzig gets his own graphic with the Bears. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, fun. Weaver, right? Anthony Weaver. They'd
Anthony
be
Weaver, own graphic. Graphic. Yep.
Patriots say, we have completed interviews with Leftwich and Pep Hamilton, and they split a graphic. Their names are tiny font, and there's a photo of both of them, and then it says head coach interviews. And then a couple days later, Mike Vrabel, own graphic.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're just
Ben
waiting
Johnson will be his own
for the go-ahead
today.
On Ben Johnson. Like, at least fake it better.
Yeah.
At least pretend better than you're doing.
Give us the Johnson pick, Pats. Where is that? Where's the Johnson pick? We all want to see it.
It's the new Twitter, too. Anything goes.
Yeah.
I mean anything.
Oh, it's can be pretty graphic on
some
there.
Some of it is like, what in the
it's
world?
It's true. So hashtag, where's the Johnson pick, Patriots? We want to see it. But good for Aaron Glenn. Good for him.
Everybody else asked for Aaron Glenn an interview. They asked him early, and he said yes to everybody else. He's interviewing with the other five openings.
They turned around on Wednesday after they got blowback from Leftwich and Hamilton, and he said, no, not doing it.
Or.
So who's their guy? Oh, I'm sorry. Or.
This is how I read it, too. Other theory. Vrabel's not as much of a slam dunk as we had originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so we better add somebody here. And maybe Aaron Glenn is the crap.
Well,
we
like
might
that.
Not get Vrabel. Is that possible?
I like that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
They're a little panicky. They're like, oh, crap. Vrabel's really in the mix in Vegas. We better call Aaron Glenn. And he's like, nope, screw you.
Because I don't think they need to interview Aaron Glenn if they knew they were going to have Vrabel. They're going to get crap either way. I don't think this really helps things. And it also looks bad.
Meaning interview him late.
Yeah.
I mean, there are four, I think, no-brainer candidates that every team with a vacancy should have interviewed.
Johnson, Vrabel,
Johnson, Glenn, Flores.
Oh, Flores. Yeah.
And that's independent of any Rooney Rule or anything else. Those are four no-brainer candidates you should talk to. Maybe you have, I like Liam Cohen. Maybe you have Cohen on the list. You like Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Maybe there's others on the list. There are four no-brainers every team should talk to. The Patriots are only talking to two, as far as I know.
And so, why are they not talking to Flores? That's so strange.
I mean,
because clearly they're not anti-Patriots guys.
He can't interview yet, so I guess we don't know definitively they're not going to talk. But when he was interviewed earlier this week, he said he hasn't heard from
anybody.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, right. Not that you could actually do it, but you think that announcement would be out there.
Yep. Oh. Yep, indeed. So who's their guy? Vrabel takes the Raiders job, let's say. Ben Johnson says, you know what? I love the situation in New England, but I'm going to Chicago. Now what?
Alex Van Pelt.
It's not Aaron Glenn.
Gerard Mayo.
Mayo's back.
Pep Hamilton. I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know what you do. I think you have to wait for that next round.
Well, you know what you would do. I don't know what the Patriots would do, but you would hire.
I would hire Cliff Kingsbury and just lean into him developing Drake May. That's what I would do.
I would hire Cohen.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
guess I'd call about Kevin O'Connell, but I'd hire Cohen if you're talking about the available candidates, and that's what I do.
It'd be pretty wild.
It would be.
It's also a little bit more likely than it was yesterday.
It would be on brand, and you're right. You're right. 617-779-7937. Hashtag, where's the Johnson pick? We want to see it, Patriots. We're waiting on it. It should happen any moment now. Plus, we'll get you the week in review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, here we go. Time for our Week in Review here on Jones and Keefe. And what a week it has been, Jones. And it started on Monday, where Robert Kraft spoke to the media. Of course, Sunday, fresh off the game, fresh off the big season-ending victory over the Bills, Gerard Mayo fired. And then Monday, 1 o'clock sharp, we had a press conference from Robert Kraft, and this is how he started.
This whole situation is on me. I feel terrible for Gerard because I put him in an untenable situation. I know that he has all the tools as a head coach to be successful in this league.
No.
He just needed more time before taking the job. In the end, I'm a fan of this team first. And now I have to go out and find a coach who can get us back to the playoffs and hopefully championships.
Kind of a lot in there, you know, in a 38-second cut. Some I agree with, some I don't. You know, putting on himself, good start.
It was a strong start to that comment, I agree.
Right, like we all disagree with the hiring, and then you get into like, all right, well, how are you going to make it better? So he moves on from him, and you're like, all right. But then he's like, I think he's going to be a great coach. He's like, all right, now you're just trying to be nice, because how do you know that?
Well, and he's probably trying to justify the hire in the first place, too. So he's taking the blame, but he's also trying to justify his own gut instinct and, also be complimentary.
Right.
By the end, he was saying the Patriots have two quarterbacks, and he really lost the messaging, but it started strong.
He
I agree.
Also said the next coach is going to have a big say, and then he later said Elliott Wolf's definitely going to be here. So it's like, I'm not really sure what to believe.
And now we found out Elliott Wolf and Ben Johnson know each other.
Somehow, some way.
If it gets Ben Johnson hired over
Mike
Vrabel.
Should we ask Phil how they know each other?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we should do that.
Do you, if it gets Ben Johnson hired, it's Ben Johnson and Elliott Wolf?
Fine.
Yeah, I think I would hold my nose on that.
I'll take it.
Me too. Over Vrabel and Vrabel's own personnel guy.
And then Ben Johnson's like, look, we need more guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown and less guys like Jalen Polk. If you could try getting a head start on that, that'll help my offense
a
little
bit. That'd be great. Thank you.
All right, with the firing of Jerod Mayo, it led us back to an old call we took about a month or so ago where a guy told us that he was pretty sure that Jerod Mayo was going to last longer in his job than you and I were going to last our current jobs.
Right, in our
y'all
jobs.
Y'all going to be gone before him.
Okay,
well,
maybe.
I bet you that me and my buddy got a bet. He got y'all and I got you guys to be gone.
Well, I appreciate your buddy taking our side. I want to know what the bet was for. Like, was this for, like, a couple hams? Was this for, like, pizza and
maybe,
drinks? Was it for, like, $1,000? Like, what was this?
Maybe you got to jump in the Charles River in a Speedo of your buddy's choice.
Oh,
maybe,
could be.
Could be one of those.
But that seriously was my favorite call in the last 3 months because the guy was, like, he was mad at us. He was pro-Mayo. But the fact that he has had he's had a bet with his friend on who would last longer.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend's like, Jones and Keefe will last longer. And he's like, no, Jerod
no
Mayo.
No way, man. Mayo's going to do
like,
it.
Like, that's fantastic.
Anybody want to take any bets on Wolf? I'm a little fearful about the Wolf one, to be honest.
I don't know. Wolf might have us.
I'm a little afraid of that
no
one.
No bet.
Based on
no
how
bet.
Connected he is to the crafts, I'm a little afraid of that one.
Mm. I do think that caller should double down. Like, I'm not paying off the bet yet. Let's change it to Elliott Wolf.
Although, double or nothing, it's Elliott Wolf.
He was a big Mayo fan.
He was indeed.
And so he's pissed. So when I say everybody agreed with Kraft moving on from Mayo, I should stop saying that because there are a few people that former New Hampshire Governor Sununu was on this morning, said you can't fire a guy after 1 year. So
I heard that as well. I heard that as well. He's a little critical of the Krafts, which I was like, you know what? Good. Yeah. Good. Somebody's standing up to him a little bit. Good for him.
I texted my dad this morning because, that my parents live in New Hampshire, and I was like, Governor Sununu's on Greg Hill's show. I'm like, was he a good governor? He said, great.
Loved him?
Loved him. Said he was a great governor.
Wow.
Maybe the best in the country is what he said.
Nice.
For real. Monday marked the first WWE Monday Night Raw on Netflix.
Hmm.
So they brought back all the former greats to get people going,
and it didn't go
great for one Hulk Hogan. I haven't watched a lot of wrestling recently. I'll be back on for Rumble and Mania coming up, but I did dip in a little bit last night. One of the highlights, Hulk Hogan came out there.
You were telling me this before the show.
They booed him out of the building. They booed they booed him less at his heel turn with the NWO back in the day. He was out there. He's like, let me tell you about my real American beer, brother. And they're like, you suck! You suck! He's like, I do everything for the fans. They're like, go to hell! They hated Hogan last night. It was hysterical.
Wow.
And you got the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart behind him with the megaphone being like, I don't know, Hogan, this ain't going great.
The best was the closed caption says, crowd booing.
I didn't realize the Hulkster has a beer.
Yeah, apparently he's got the real American beer. But he's like, just trying to get his product placement in there. And he's like, I'm here with the real American beer, brother.
Had it on his shirt,
too. Go to hell. They hate him. Oh, it's so funny.
Nice.
It was amazing. And a lot of people are trying to make the connection. They're like, oh, it's just because Hogan likes Trump. And that's not true because The Undertaker was also there that night. He was in like an ad campaign for President Trump.
Oh, Taker's a big Trump guy.
Taker's a huge Trump guy. Huh. And Taker got huge ovation, like, oh, Undertaker's back. People love it. So, like, it's not that. People, like, some of the Hogan people are like, that's all it was. Like, yeah. No, people just hate Hogan now.
It's not all political. It's not all red and blue, guys.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what was black and blue was a botched surgery that I had. Well, not a surgery, more as a procedure. I was awake during it.
It was elective.
It happened a while ago, but it was news to you and Billy and Nick, so I shared this very personal story earlier in the week.
I don't think vampires can reproduce. They're dead.
Well, they're dead.
Yeah, so I don't think they can reproduce.
Live forever.
That's another plus, by the way.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Don't have to worry about that. Nope.
Neither do I anymore. I had a surgery that didn't go great.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, really?
It went poorly, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
I don't know. I guess we're there.
But well, it was a while ago. And yeah. He didn't put enough anesthesia down there.
Oh, no.
Nightmare.
Yikes.
One of the most painful things in my entire life.
Oh, boy.
I had a buddy that got it done, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's nothing.
I have a lot of buddies who've had it.
I've had a couple buddies
brag. The snip-snap, and they're like, oh, you're in, you're out. You weren't in and out.
Oh, and one buddy's like, oh, I was doing work emails during it. I'm like, oh, were you? I was in death-like pain. I was screaming. It was horrible. It was like a murder scene down there. The guy's like,
oh, you wanted anesthesia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You feel that? I'm like, I feel everything. I feel everything, sir. Oh, no, it was a nightmare. I forget if I talked about it before here or maybe on the podcast, but it was a nightmare. The guy's like, oh, you mind if I play some music? I'm like, sure, play some music.
Yeah.
So he's playing. I'll remember, every time I hear the song, I'll think about the time I was getting sliced open down there. He turns on the Offspring. I'm like, friend's got a girlfriend and he hates that. I'm like, great. This is what we're doing? Carving me up. I'm okay now. I know I got a lot of letters. People were curious how I'm doing now. I'm doing fine.
A lot of letters.
You got a lot of letters. I'm doing just fine.
Good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice.
Finally, yesterday we went back on the clock. We were doing our fill out the Patriots coaching staff in 60 seconds. We then allowed the listener to jump in with their plan, 30 seconds. Still fair, though.
Look, it's not to steal a phrase from the Patriots. It's a collaborative approach here. You have ideas. We have ideas. You know, it's a marketplace of ideas is what it is.
However, not sure we're going to be doing this going forward because people kind of lost their minds. You put the clock on them and they just start swearing.
Ready? Sean in Canada, you're on the clock.
Canada?
Well, for now, it's soon to be America. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah. Canada.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. You're on the clock, Sean.
Awesome. Here's a noble plan.
What did he say?
Here's a no BS plan is what he said.
Dump that.
Big Head Tony. Hello, Tony.
Big Head. What up, Big Head Tony?
Hey, what's up? The headliner here. I got for you here because I think so big. Listen, you guys are going to be head over heels. Sign.
You got to swear.
What is going on?
Don't swear. What game show you heard with swearing in it? Jeez.
Oh, yeah, boy. So that was
your profanity.
That's one of my favorite drops too. That was back to back calls too. So we had to kind of
there's minimal chit chat in between.
Yeah, no, we were running out of the dump button. It was like having Ty Law in studio.
No, Nick said that he's like gone. We're out of delay.
We cannot do it any longer.
Yeah, he's like you can't take a call right now. We're out of delay because we.
So we'll try it again next week.
Yeah,
but we got to be. Really close to the dump button. We gotta be real worried about these.
I think the more I hear Big Head Tony's stand up routine, the more I enjoy it.
I love it. It's good. He's like, one after the next. All Big Head jokes.
He wanted to do more. Yeah. Like he was like, I guess I should get to my plan. I only have 30 seconds here. I should get to my plan eventually. But he kept biting back at the apple.
At what point do we ask for a photo? And so when he does call, Terp can put him up on Twitch and YouTube.
I mean, right now. What do you mean? Right now. Big Head Tony, if you're out there listening,
send
we want
it into Terp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's see that. You can even blur your face if you want. I just want to see the size of this head.
Most of your face.
Yeah, no. If you can.
The bottom
half. I just want to see, like, compared to, like, the rest of your body.
The bottom half is pixelated and the rest is just out.
It's clear as day. Just his eyes.
AI could not cover this up. Yeah. I couldn't figure it out.
All right, there you go. There's your week in review.
Brilliant. So there you go. 617-779-7937. It is a Friday. No longer a Patriots Friday, but it's the Friday before Wild Card Weekend, which means...
Oh.
Rich Keefe.
Busy.
Has not only keys to Wild Card Weekend.
It's crazy. I need
but let's
vacation.
Also let's also tee up. You've been working very hard.
Uh-huh.
Not to say that you don't normally, but working very hard today. He also has a scoop. Mm-hmm. On the Bruins, turmoil in the dressing room. If you missed it earlier, Keith will give that to you again. All that's next.